The Brett and Shane podcast. I'm Brett Shelley, and today we have a special guest with us. He is the founder of Pop Betting Matters Institute and Maria Coach. He has authored two books, Ten Tales of Recruiting Mastery and Leaving an Impression. He has also been a co-author in a book called The Change Series. Great friend of mine and a mentor. Please welcome Alan Wood.
Hey, thanks, Blake.
How are you?
I'm great. Great today. Hey, you know, I got out of bed this morning, and that's the first positive thing of the day. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I appreciate you coming. Talking with us. You had such an incredible story and have accomplished so much. So I'm excited for our viewers to hear a little bit about you.
Cool.
I mentioned in the intro, you are a co-author in Chamber. Can you tell us a little bit about that series?
Yeah, the Change series, I was approached a number of months ago by a couple of leaders in the personal growth industry, Jim Britt and Jim Lutz. And they contacted a number of entrepreneurs and authors from all over the world, a number of countries, 20, 30 countries. And I was asked to be a contributing author, and so I did. I made the investment of time and resources and put together a chapter in their book. And my whole chapter was based on recruiting and team development, and that's the mission and the story that I wanted in this book, because I wanted the book to be a marketing tool and the story a marketing tool for me, an education piece, as opposed to just a biography type of article. And so it took me about 2 weeks to write it, and was grateful to put it in there, and I'm in book six of right now 10. They've got a series of 10, and their whole goal is to reach a billion people, sell a billion books. And there hasn't been any other author or program, even in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, I believe, don't hold me to this, but I believe they haven't reached a billion books sold yet. But these two gentlemen are looking at doing that, and I'm just grateful to have been in the series.
Wow, that is incredible. And there's so many good chapters in that book, but I love yours. I think it goes beyond just team building. Your chapter was about being relevant and visible. And although you talked about marketing yourself, I think that the principle you talk about can be universally applied. I want to read a quote from your book.
Okay.
I wrote this, it's such a great example of Steve's taught me personally. She's talking about making an introduction video.
Mm-hmm.
But it said, do not be afraid to memorial life, your journey, hurdle, and struggle with flops and rewards, lessons and turning points that guided you in your life.
Is in fact being visible and being relevant, and if people can't relate to you, then they're probably not going to follow you. And any entrepreneur, and you are definitely an entrepreneur, that wants to build an audience for whatever reason they're building their audience for. In your case here, you're building your audience to really expand and to educate, you know, the globe on the value that everybody can contribute in the world, whether they have special needs or not. And your particular organization and what you do does in fact focus on people that have disabilities and the contribution they can make. And what I was talking about was the same thing, is be real, be who you are, and don't be afraid to show that. I think too many times in business, we find ourselves keeping things close, holding them in, because the risk of exposing ourselves is risky, in the fact that we're going to lose maybe market share, or we're going to be embarrassed, or competition won't look at us, you know, the same way as an easy target, or maybe our audience won't like the fact that we showed our faults, when in fact that's just the opposite. People want to know. They want to be able to relate to the people that they follow. They want to know that they've been in the mud and the mire and have some of the scars and the bruises, you know, along the way, and have some successes. But they also want to know that that you're still in the game. And if you're in the game and you're talking about where you've been and where you're going, and you're still in your quest, then people will follow that, because they can relate. They can see themselves in you. They can see themselves following you, because there's a lot of things you have in common. Could be just a common goal. It could be the fact they like your character. It could be the fact they like that you're transparent and not afraid to show what some might, you know, say as shortcomings and what others say as successes. Because with transparency and with effort, you're going to have, you know, setbacks, you're going to have successes. Everybody is. Let's memorialize that, because that's relatable to people. And to be invisible, you're being visible in your podcast. You're showing, you're standing up and letting people know that here's my life, here's what I've done, here's what I'm hoping to do with your help, here's how I can help you, and you're being transparent about it. And I think that's a very key characteristic to anybody that's looking in an entrepreneur standpoint, is to be very transparent to their audience and to relate and continue that conversation. I think those are key paramounts, and those are the reasons that I wrote what I wrote in my book.
Yeah, I love that. It's really about being personal. You know, we live in a world that is so connected, but disconnected.
Because people do relate to you in various ways. They can relate based on your age, maybe your demographic, maybe your gender, your walk of life, the things that you've done. Maybe they just like your personality, like you said. Maybe they like your sense of humor. Maybe they like the way you paraphrase and phrase ideas and concepts. Or maybe they like the fact that this guy really gets me. He can get inside my head. That's me. I want to follow more who this person is because I feel like they're talking about me or I am them. And that's hard to do in writing. It's not impossible, but it's hard to do in writing. They don't see the inflection. And in a podcast, they see the inflection. The video, they see the inflection. They see the emotion. They look at the face. They can see eye contact. They can determine whether or not they believe you're authentic or not. And those are all important things if you're building an audience to follow your mission and your vision for whatever it is that you're doing.
I want to take that one step for you, since it is all about sharing your story. You have an incredible story. That everyone can learn from. This is, I believe, you could be a healthy person alive, but still had to overcome struggle. But I want to ask you. If you could share some of your journey with
us. Sure. No, I'd be honored to. Struggles, it's funny you say that word struggle because we all struggle. Our life is about struggle. And that doesn't mean it's bad. But we struggle to grow. We struggle to become the people we become. We struggle to find our place in this world. We struggle to find somebody to share our life with. And struggle is not a bad thing. Struggle is really nothing more than a word for journey. And, you know, where has your life taken you? And I think the more that we can memorialize that as individuals, the better off we are because everybody's story is different. There's no competition when it comes to a story. There's no competition when it comes to finding out who's better than who because everybody's story, everybody's journey is different. And that's the value that we have with people is to be able to say that, you know, we come from different environments and here's mine front and center, like me or don't like me. But yeah, my journey is a little bit unique. Probably there's a lot more people that have had a lot more challenges than I've ever had. And then there's going to be people that haven't had any of the challenges that I've had. And I was born with a congenital heart condition that's required 4 open heart surgeries, and I have an artificial heart valve, so that's kind of cool. I'm alive and had a cardiac arrest and died for about a half an hour, and have a pacemaker defibrillator implanted, so I have a lot of nice electronics in there to keep me alive. And it was funny. Our daughter Katie is a teacher. And I think you've been to her class and you've seen some of the kids. And I love the kids because they're just completely transparent and real with their questions. And one of the little girls asked me, well, if you have a pacemaker and a defibrillator, she had a hard time saying the word defibrillator, but it was really cute. And she goes, which keeps you alive then? And she paused. She goes, well, how do you die? Which was a very honest question from a kid, right? I love the fact that they, and you know, that kind of took me back, and because this will in fact keep working until the battery wears out. And I said, well, when there comes a time when I get old enough and my body decides that it's time to go, then they turn off the equipment that I have that lets me then die in, you know, in my sleep or whatever. But I thought that was really a really honest, and I had never heard that from anybody before. Mm. And I thought that was, you know, that was a real honest question, especially from a child, and put me on the spot. I wasn't ready for that kind of transparency. Even though we talk about transparency a lot. And so that was an education piece. And along the way, in this journey of mine, I got into architecture, which was really great because I got into medical architecture and I had the opportunity over some 25 years to be able to design hospitals, medical clinics, and all sorts of specialized medical facilities, several of which I had surgeries in. And so that was a unique way for me to get back. And I really enjoyed that. It was a long part of my life, but I really did enjoy. That was, like I said, a way for me to get back and to express my gratitude for, you know, the job well done. And I was in a unique position because I, having been a patient in the hospital and having understood the mechanics of medical design, it gave me a unique perspective. And so I was asked by a number of the hospitals then to work on their projects because of that. And so I knock on wood because it was a very honoring place to be. And I still look at that and I still respect that journey. But as journeys go, that journey came to a close and a different part of my life came into be where I was able to be in a position where I could help people nurture and grow in their life and in their business and so forth. And so I took that on as a full-time job. And not really a job, more of a career, and which has led to writings and led to coaching and consulting clients in the U.S. and in about 6-7 different countries. And it's been an honor to be able to do that. And I see that growing and growing and growing because the need is there. There's a high need. There's a much more of an onslaught of entrepreneurs now. And they're needing some education. And over the next 2 or 3 years, there's going to be about 3 billion new people coming on the platform, either the cell phone platform or the personal computer platform, that have never been involved before. Yeah. So they have no idea, they have no preconceived notions of what's available, plus they don't have any holds on them mentally or emotionally based on social media and so forth. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity there, and I'm looking forward to being able to, you know, affect a small demographic of that. Lots of opportunity there, and they need some leaders and some guidance, and I feel honored to be, you know, one of the minions, you know, in that arena helping people out. But it hasn't been journey hasn't been easy. You know, I made $1 million in 1 year and lost it all the same year. Lost our home, lost all of our investments, lost everything. House foreclosed on, cars repossessed. It's really fun if you get your car repossessed while your kids are in it. That's not one of the high points of my life, but or to come out and find that your car is gone and it wasn't stolen, it was taken back. And that was a downturn in the economy and architecture where our firm went down from 380 down to about 75 people and, you know, 15, 20 rounds of layoffs. And I became a product of the environment at that point. And I just didn't have the income and we lost things and lost investments. And there's a lot of people that fell in that category. I'm obviously not unique in that respect, but crawled out of that and continue to build personally from that and build for my family, build for me and my family, as opposed to building for someone else. That was kind of a turning point that I wanted to get into consulting and contracting and coaching, and that then for the next 10 years led to where I'm at now. Wow. So that's kind of the journey along the way and some of the hiccups, and extremely rewarding financially to a degree and then emotionally to a degree. And it's kind of a holistic approach to lifestyle, which I feel privileged to be in that environment where I was able to have those things, because not everybody has that, and I feel privileged to do that. It's a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of commitment, but And you know what that's like, you starting your company and the hurdles that you've been through and the successes that you've seen and the people whose lives you've affected. It's a joyful place to be, but it's also, you know, put some gray hair.
Yeah.
You don't have any gray hair yet. It's around the corner, but you have a few.
Well, I do want to... You've helped coach me for the past 4 years in different areas of which the nonprofit were involved in, and now it's a new venture into disability advocacy. I'm not eager for your increase.
Well, thank you. That's humbling to hear. Thank you very much. I'm honored to be able to help in any way possible. For the listeners, for the people watching, I've known Blake for a long time. And his mother and my wife grew up together, and my wife works for Blake, and so there's a lot of family involvement, and there's been times there when we didn't have so much knowledge and involvement and followed each other, but it's been very close these last several years, and it's been a joy to watch you grow, and I know there's been challenges, and I know there's been some growing pains. But I also seen the joy in your eyes when you've reached these kids, and that joy is unprecedented. And I honor you for that, because you have taken a big piece of responsibility to reaching out to a community that's underserved, to families that are underserved, and educating the community and the greater good on just the value of what's being missed by not having these families and these individuals part of an active part of our society. So I commend you for that, and I'm honored to help you in any way that I can, and to continue that as long as I don't irritate you.
I'm gonna get that story back. A big part of why I do this show is to give help to families who have kids in school with disabilities or medical challenges, but also other professionals that have either disabilities or medical challenges. What were some of your challenges as a young person with a congenital heart condition?
I don't know life without a heart condition. That's, I think, the first and foremost thing that's really unique, is that I don't know what it's like to be able to run and not have a problem, to be able to go upstairs and not have a problem. And I had that in school. I wasn't able to compete, so to speak, in any sports. My cardiologist wouldn't allow me to compete, because you have that extra little piece you have to push. The training that was involved, I couldn't do any of that, because it was stressing out my heart. And at that time, but back in 1961, they didn't have the technology they have now, so they weren't able to really fix a problem. They had to alter the problem and correct it a little bit as I grew. And they did surgeries on me when I was little, and back then it was minor correction, but it still didn't allow me to compete. And so I competed a little bit in PE, which was the big thing in school back then, in recess and so forth. And I was still challenged. I wasn't able to play any sports, wasn't on the track team, wasn't on the soccer team, volleyball team. The only thing I was allowed to do was play golf. And so I played golf. But I wasn't very good. I was very strong. And, you know, I had a high score. You don't want a high score in golf. You want a low score in golf. And so there were often times when, not just because I had a low score, but because I played slower. And it was more of a challenge at tournament time and at game time. So there were times when the coach would tell me wrong dates and times for the buses on purpose, and I would miss the bus to the golf tournament because I would affect the score too much and affect the placement of our team in the standings. And so that was hard. I just wanted to play golf. I wasn't really, didn't resonate so much with the overtones of that statement. However, my parents were very upset about that and went to the school board and talked to them, and those were rectified. I was allowed to play, and the teammates were great. Teammates, the coach, not so much. Haven't seen the coach for years. I know where he is, but I haven't seen the coach for years, and that's irrelevant at this point in my life and in his life. But that was tough, and I would imagine I'm probably not the only person with a disability that's experienced that kind of a left behind or left out or overlooked. Maybe overlooked is even a better word. And those were challenges. Picked on because I was a scrawny little kid. You know, was picked on a lot at school. Wasn't beat up, but was a couple times, but mainly picked on. Made fun of, you know, nobody sat with me, and all those fun things that you go through, that a lot of kids go through, whether they have a disability or not. But that exacerbates when you have something that kids can see that makes you different, and then they pick at that. Mm. And so that was enhanced through school. But I think it made me stronger, too. It made me more independent. It made me more conscious of other people and their feelings and their emotions and their journeys and what they went through. And I think that helped me relate better to people as I got into my professional career well past growing up, although I think we all continue to grow up and learn and become more of who we are. But those were challenging times, but they were good times because they helped create my character and the way I work with people and the tools I have to offer. But it also made me scared when we got married, and you know, I got married and 4 months later I had my fourth open heart surgery. And my wife said something really unique that I will never forget. She goes, because somebody asked, why would you want to marry a guy when you know he's going to have his fourth open heart surgery in 4 months after you got married? Which I thought was a pretty bold question to ask somebody, right? Yeah. But they asked her nonetheless, and she goes, if 4 months is all I have, then it's worth every minute of it. And what an honorable thing to receive as a young couple. And I was scared at that point. I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to be around and be able to take care of my family, because we're talking a 14-hour surgery at that point, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And I didn't get the human valve that I wanted. I got an artificial heart valve, which is better yet because lots of longevity. Got past that, then I go, well, is it hereditary? What happens if we have kids that have this heart condition? And that was hard. I mean, that was probably the first time that I looked at my condition and how I might directly have impact on another human being for the lack of a better word, a negative impact. And knock on wood, both kids are great, didn't have an issue. But that was a big part of my life, and I'm still dealing with it. I'll never be able to have a life that's void of those challenges, because it's just, it is what it is. It'll be a lifelong challenge. I'll have other devices implanted in me, upgrades, new things, and you know, I'm happy to be here. You know, I've been cardioverted with paddles some 30 times. You know, those are 30 times that I died. You know, and I'm still here, so there's got to be an extra reason why, because it's been a lot of work keeping me around. It's just a lot of people have contributed a lot of time and energy to keep me here, and I don't look at that shallowly. I look at that as a responsibility and as an honor. So, and this is the way I'm progressing in my life, is the best way that I believe I can contribute back and give back. Long answer to your question, but
that was great. Thank you for being wonderful.
Oh, you're welcome. No, it can be challenging. I learned at a fairly early age to not really let other people's opinions and expectations of me, and live up to their obligations, and you know, live up to what they wanted me to be, and exactly, you know, I had enough other things to deal with, you know, and that was never a problem. Very fortunate in that. And something the audience might not know, and I'm going to go ahead and stick my neck out and share it, but your dad and I have a lot in common, and you have a lot in common with my kids. We've all been down the exact same road, almost identical, which I think is really unique to share that story. But
that when you talking about having paddle, you only said time outside to and I got back when I saw them having you piled on my back.
Yeah, that's I've never been awake during mine. All mine have been with I've been drug induced, you know, except for the emergency ones, and then I was out anyway. I have never witnessed a family member go through that. So you've experienced that, my wife is experiencing, and your siblings and my siblings have experienced things that I've never experienced. I've never seen that. Seen it on TV, and I think a lot of people have witnessed and experienced that in social media and so forth, but I've never had to experience that emotion. And so I can't say that I know what that's like. I can appreciate the heartache and the challenge and the risk and the adverse scarcity of and the tenuousness of life in that moment. But I'm sorry that's brought up those emotions, but that's okay, and it's okay. I mean, the audience who's listening and watching this are going to have those things in their life or somebody they're close to. And they're going to relate. So I hope that, you know, what we're talking about here is resonating and giving somebody, you know, some kind of a benefit, you know, in the audience.
Strong emotion there, but it also happy to that we're so fortunate that we have you and my dad around.
Yeah, and that's honorable, and it is from a dad's position. I can only look at it from a dad's perspective, but it is a great place to be, a very rewarding, a very thankful environment, and I think it's brought our family, our individual families closer together, our families closer together, and I think that's what adversity does and risk and challenge do. They bring you closer together because they expose what's real. It takes away the fluff. There's no place for fluff in these challenging times. And it strengthens who you are as an individual and who you are as a family. Some families, unfortunately, get broken apart because of the challenge, whatever those challenges might be. we've experienced the opposite, and I know with a lot of the kids and the families that you're helping, we're experiencing, you know, that that benefit of bringing closer together. And I hope that that maybe for some of the listeners and some of the viewers that are seeing this, that may be thinking that things are hopeless or so isolated that nobody can relate, people can relate, and there's resources and there's people out there that really do care, that will embrace and help grow and help nurture and help protect. And that's why I'm so excited about what you're doing.
Can you share a little insight to how this has affected your professional life?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it has made me so much more aware of how I get up every day, and made me so much more aware of my individual responsibility to myself, to my family, and to those that I have influence with, to my circle of influence, whatever that influence might be. Much more aware because I've seen the daily risk. And that's not to say that that anybody can't see that. It's just that those that have had a challenge or a journey of health risk and reward, in my case, you see life a little bit differently. You don't necessarily see it as a sense of loss, but you see it as a sense of opportunity, as what do I get to do today? Whose life am I going to impact today? And I think there's a lot of people out there that are going through their life that don't have the risk, maybe not yet. And they may never have it personally, but somebody in their family will have it. They're going to be exposed to it, especially the older they get. And I think that's a gift that that I have now, is I get to adopt that, and I get to implement that emotion into what I do in relating with people. And I think that that's a gift. It came through adversity, but it's a gift that I get to be able to give. And so that's a real benefit and a real plus. You know, the downside there, I don't really notice any downsides in my profession from my physical, except the some of the economic downturns that, that haven't been from my physical well-being, except for my when I had my cardiac arrest, then I was out of commission for about a year and a half, 2 years. And that was difficult. It was difficult emotionally. It affected parts of my brain that I'll probably have, you know, ongoing challenge with. And that's just a process that you have when you have a cardiac arrest. And it affects everybody differently. Dealing with technology, for me, is a challenge. It's a daily challenge, but it's important to my development of where I'm going. It's an important part of my coaching and consulting that I have to learn it. I have to continually learn it and continually challenge myself. And that's been the biggest challenge, is overcoming the technology hurdle and how to grasp that. You've been great in helping out. Help me getting over a number of hurdles. How do you post pictures to Facebook? I was one of those guys, okay? So I still have challenge with those, but it's important, so I have to do extra study. It takes me longer. It is what it is. You know, other things, not so much. It's given me lots of opportunity for curriculum development. You know, that's been a nice thing. Because I found that my history and my journey is appropriate for a lot of people. It's relatable to a lot of people, whether it's been a financial impact or a sociological impact, a psychological impact, or a physical impact. It's relatable because it's challenge and it's risk and reward, and those things don't have any barrier of entry. They're not. Susceptible to any kind of adversity or jealousy on the part of somebody's life and how they, no discrimination, if you will. Maybe that's a better word. It's non-discriminatory when it comes to when adversity comes to someone's life. So it's given me some insight, which I think is a great thing. And I would not have that had I not gone through my life of challenge. So I look back and I go, okay, well, there's the journey. Great journey. Didn't like all of it, but great journey. Mm-hmm. Here's a toolbox that I have from it now. And I think everybody can relate to their journey that way. But it's given me some great insight that I didn't expect and necessarily want. But it's extremely powerful now for me and a gift that I get to offer to other people. And it's taking care of me. So I, praise Lord every day and glad that I'm alive to continue the mission.
I have to say, even though you feel like technology is a weak spot for you, you have turned me on to a couple fantastic resources. So I know you spend a lot of time researching and looking into new technology.
Yeah, you have to. You and I both have to. We're in a we operate in a social environment. We are on the social landscape because this is how we've chosen to connect with our audience and with the people. And there's so many new things happening. The learning curve and the development curve of technology is going so fast that I think you have to be on the leading edge of that in order to be relatable and to be a leader, to be someone that somebody wants to follow. And, when you're in our position, anybody that's in a position of education and teaching people, you want to make sure that you can teach above your audience. And that is not an arrogant thing. It just means there's a reason that there's a teacher and a student. The teacher knows more than the student, or the teacher has more experience than the student. The same happens here. We've been around. We have to keep on the leading edge of not only our topic, but the way we bring our topic to the market. And I think those are paramount things to do. And they're important for both you and I in what we do. And just staying on the leading edge of those it's a key thing. And teach that to our audience, and because they need to be heard as well. And if we don't have a grasp on what's out there and can tell them what's coming and how to mold and shape their mission and their story and their reach and their delivery system, then we fail as teachers and we fail as coaches and consulting folks in their eyes, and we don't ever want to fail. So we have to be consummate students and constantly learning as we're asking that of our flock too. So it's a great thing to be, place to be, but it is an ongoing journey.
I think that a good segue, part of an exciting new project with a friend of yours. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your new podcast?
Our new podcast, yeah, we've been very fortunate. We started a podcast because we wanted to be able to reach out and offer really great content and education and training for free, because not everybody can afford it. And in the coaching, in the consulting environment, there's a lot of money to be made, because it's a high yield for low overhead. As a business practice, it's pretty good in that respect. But there's also a lot of responsibility that comes with that. And we wanted to make sure that, because we have real high price programs that are real personal with us, vested in the event. And then there's a lot of general information and guidance for just understanding entrepreneurship 101. What does that really mean, and how do you do that? And we wanted to make sure that everybody had access to that. And so our podcast has been that way, and we've been fortunate to secure some very great well-known leaders in the marketplaces as part of our podcast, because that's been our mission and they want to help promote that. And we're doing a couple of really big things that I can't let out of the bag yet, but they were coming down the pike here in the next couple of months, and they're going to be very social, going to be very recognized to the, we hope, the global population. So I'm putting it out there. It's risky, but you've heard me say it. So my business partner and I, Chris, he lives in Florida, and we met a year and almost 2 years ago, and we've only met in person that one time for that one weekend 2 years ago, and we built a business at a distance, and I haven't seen him physically for that 2 years, except he's coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So there's going to be a rekindling of seeing each other. But we've been able to build a business and been able to build a podcast and been able to build a national consulting firm at a distance, which I think is unique. And we're packaging that for people to understand so they can use that, because social media is becoming the way to really educate and expand your reach, especially with the new 3 billion, the rising billions that are coming on. And you hear me talk about that. If anybody knows anything about me or research anything about me, we talk about the rising billions and these new 3 billion people that are coming on the market. It's all going to be through social media and social sharing that they're going to become part of the landscape when it comes to economics and how they're going to contribute. So a lot of responsibility, a lot of opportunity there, and we're getting some help from some pretty well-known folks, and that's been a gift, because I don't have the credentials or the resources to capture those people, but our circle of influence has, and I feel very honored by that, and can't wait to make that, you know, that announcement and to make that offering available to people.
I want to tell our audience that check out Chris and Alan's podcast, Think Bold People, on iTunes, and it's on Podomatic.
It's on Podomatic. Podomatic is a service provider for anybody on iTunes has to have a provider that brings the product to iTunes, and we use Podomatic. So Podomatic or on iTunes.
Top, it's top notch. I have learned so much tips from listening.
Yeah, we haven't been on that long. We've had 25 recordings, and we've broadcast, I think, 13 or 14 of those. And we have a number of people lined up, but we're very fortunate in the self-help business area on Podomatic. We've gone from number 5,736 to number 2. And that's because of the audience. That's because of people listening and wanting to hear. And we're catering, you know, to that ear. And it's very honored. We're honored by that, and want to continue to do that. And so we fluctuate somewhere in the top 10, and that's a nice place to be. But we're excited. We have some great people lined up, and we've got enough folks lined up. We feel very fortunate to last through most of 2016. So
I hope to meet Chris with his great guy.
He is a great guy. Not only will you meet him, but if you're willing, you'll be a guest on our show. Our first live cast with the two of us together, and you'll be the guest. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, that will be a lot of fun. Stay tuned for that. Get real quickly and close this. How can people get a hold of you if they want to work with you?
Okay, well, there's a couple of ways. I'm on all the social medias. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And it's just Alan Witch. And my website's alanwitch.com, alanwich.com. And I have it turned off because I'm making some modifications, but it should be on here the next week or so. You can find me on Clarity, Clarity. That's another service provider that I use. And you can find me there. You can reach me by email. Alan@alanwitch.com, and I'll give you my phone number. It's 503-849-4615. Help in any way that I can. Don't be afraid to reach out. I answer all my emails. I do the best it beats as fast as I can, and I get everything through my phone. So everything does come to me. I don't have an assistant that that sorts or anything. So it takes me a little bit of time, but I do get to everybody. Facebook, Twitter, post, send me a link, send me a private request, a private message, however those terms are. I don't know if I said the right terms or not, but you know what I mean. Send me a PM, I guess, right? So,
I'll put all your contact info in the description of our podcast.
Okay, super, thank you.
So go look at that app and you're done. I want to make one quick chapter, and it is available on Amazon.
It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It'll be on my site as well. I can't get it there yet because obviously my site's turned off right now. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, it's easy. Cool. Just look up The Change. There's a number of books, great authors. I don't receive anything from Barnes & Noble when you buy that. So buy whatever, as many copies as you want. I get a little bit of compensation from my site, but that's not why I wrote it. I wrote it as where I contributed so that people could have the information and use it. And I didn't use it. I didn't write it and contribute as a sense of income, a source of income, but more of a source of education. So, it's softback. It's easy to read. Great stories. There's about 20 authors per book. And right now there's 10 books. So we're talking, you know, a good 200 plus authors. And the stories are fantastic. All walks of life, all sorts of challenges, all sorts of opportunities, professional athletes, some well-known people. There's a vice president in there in one of the books. So I encourage you to have a look. Anyway, great story. Thank you very much, Blake, for promoting that.
It is available on Kindle. So if you're like me and have trouble turning pages, then I copy it for you to.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll have a free Kindle version on my site when it's open. So people can just download it and be able to read it and share it. So. Cool.
Well, thank you for being with us. Today, you give us a lot of good insight to think about a great role model of overcoming and not letting circumstances stand in your way of being successful.
Well, thank you. Once again, humbled and honored to be on your show, honored to be your friend, and honored by your family. So thank you, listeners. I hope that we've given you some insight. Feel free to reach out to myself, to Blake. There's a lot of great information, a lot of great resources here. Hopefully we sparked something. If I can help out anybody, I'm more than happy to just reach out and we'll do what we can.
Thank you for watching today. If you want to reach out to me, you can always catch me on Facebook or email me at blake@blakeshelley.com. Until next time, keep encouraging and attitude of perseverance and inclusion.
Amen.